This is Wine and Dine in LA with Anoush, where I talk about wine in a fun and approachable way and bring you all insights of the world of wine.
Welcome back, everyone. Today we have a truly fun show with Chef Arthur, who shared with us his experience of studying abroad, studying in France, working in a restaurant, and also having an internship there as a sommelier. How exciting. Thanks, Arthur, for sharing. It sounds amazing. Your trip, the school, everything. So after returning from France now, what do you currently do? What is your business right now?
So I returned from France in the summer of 2016, I started working for Nancy Silverton at Mozza. And I worked there for 2 years. I started at the pizzeria, then moved to the osteria, worked my way up to the pasta station. And then during vacation of the Christmas season of 2017 was when I went to Texas to meet my girlfriend's family for the first time. And when I was there, I stood in line at Franklin's Barbecue in Austin for nearly 5 hours. Mm-hmm. And after that first bite of brisket was when I knew this is what my career needs to be. It was just like an epiphany of a moment. So upon returning from vacation, I gave in my few weeks notice and I left working at Mozza and just started doing barbecue. You know, I missed the point. Nancy actually came over for a barbecue that I had organized for like as a staff party sort of. And she ended up loving it so much that I just knew I need to be doing this. You know, it's time and I shouldn't be wasting any more time thinking that, you know, I'm not ready or stuff like that. So what I thought was, how could I make this barbecue project different from what it's like in Texas and barbecue being a big part of Armenian culture? And it's also a big part of American culture. You know, you could say if America has a pinnacle of what its cuisine is, it's probably Texas barbecue. So it was just a great way for me being an Armenian American to show both sides of who I am. You know, even though, yeah, my parents are Armenian from Armenia, but I was born in this country. So I have the right to call myself an American, I guess. So that's where that project led to.
That sounds so exciting. Like you couldn't make like a more perfect match, you know, barbecue. Exactly. Armenians love barbecue and the barbecue is such a big part of, yes, all the celebration, the American cuisine. So marrying them together is amazing.
Go ahead.
There's like so much to talk about. Just yesterday I was watching on Netflix, the series with Nancy. And it is, yeah. I didn't know that about you, that you worked for, for the Nancy and Vitali's restaurant. And this is one of my favorite places to eat. And Vitali is one of my absolute favorite chefs too. I love his books, his cooking, his recipes, everything. And so how did she take it when you gave your resignation? I mean, she tried your barbecue. So maybe she kind of knew that's coming, but was she upset?
Yeah, that restaurant didn't really have, she didn't really try to impose a cult-like culture, if that makes any sense, where if you work for me, you work for me forever, you know? So she was okay with it. I guess you could say she knew I was on the way to doing my own thing, so she didn't really hold anything against me for that, you could say.
Very good. We will talk, we'll definitely talk more about the barbecue and the recipes and the inspirations for that. But I wanted you to share briefly about the documentary, the No Passport Required. How did that come into this situation? How did Chef Samuelson find out about you?
Well, I actually got a phone call from a lady by the name of Salpi. I can't remember her last name, but she's
Salpi Hazada.
USC. She works at USC. Yeah. And they told me that Marcus Samuelson was doing the program No Passport Required, and basically broke it down how they're looking for Armenian cooks to be featured on the show. And she had heard about me from working through, like, how I worked for Nancy and so on. So, and it was right at the time when I started the Yerokmaz Barbecue project. So they called me up and asked me about what the project was, and I got in touch with the producer, and it just went down from there.
So that's what it means, Yerokmaz. I was looking and I was trying to understand what is the three in the market. It's so funny.
Yeah, it's a Roman numeral three.
If you are from if you are from Armenia, from Yerevan, this is so funny. I love it. So it's called Yerokmaz Barbecue.
Yeah, it's because my father worked in the meat industry. You know, they in Armenian, Masi Kombinat, we say he worked in that industry. So it's kind of in respects to him.
Yeah.
And he was from Yerokmaz. So.
the documentary, so funny. The documentary is absolutely amazing. And this was the first time, you know, watching the a documentary about the Armenians who live in Los Angeles, that it was so diverse. They have included pretty much every Armenian from every background, you know, Armenians from Armenia, Armenians from Lebanon, Armenians from, so this was the program was put so well together, and different age gaps to age groups. So if anyone is interested, go look it up. It's called No Passport Required, Chef Samuelson. There's all the episodes are great, but of course, you know, the one about Armenia is the best, you know, for us, because it just showcased. And it was such a wonderful and sentimental moment to watch your grandma there, how proud she was looking at you. So, and I know you mentioned earlier, too, that she had a great impact on your cooking and of how you, love of the food for you.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you share about your grandma a little bit, briefly?
Well, my grandma, I should also mention that last week she unfortunately passed away due to heart complications. Her background, she's Egyptian Armenian, so she was born in Alexandria. And growing up, again, a big part of the dishes that I learned how to make, you know, you mentioned the Sisian food. From my mom's side, it was more like kalagosh, you know, the lentils with yogurt and dried lavash. And then there's the zhingyalovats from Artsakh. It was more, I would get like a taste of that, but the more of the cooking was done by my grandmother. So there was a lot of diversity in our kitchen in terms of it was Armenian dishes, but it was also the Armenian dishes that had the influence of, you know, Lebanon and Egypt. And I grew up like ful madames was another dish that I grew up eating. It's a very Egyptian dish, you know, the stewed beans with the hard or soft boiled egg and so on. And falafel is another recipe that she taught me. And I'm actually starting a new project this weekend based off the recipe she taught me. So biggest influence on my life, like out of all the chefs I've worked for, all the places I've worked for, I could say that today, 90% of the techniques and flavors and recipes that I'm using are more what she handed down to me as opposed to whatever I learned from working from anywhere else.
Oh, that is so sweet. And I'm sure she's now your guardian angel and looking, and she's so proud of you. I mean, she was proud of, like, in the movie when you, I mean, in the, not movie, but in the documentary, when you see her, she was like her, like she couldn't speak so much English, but her like face and her eyes, the expression said it all. Like she was like her, my baby. I'm so proud. It's like amazing. It's the best bond that you can see and feel and through, like for people who don't even know you guys, you know, you can feel that warmness, that love coming through there. What is, okay, now let's switch to cooking at home. for a new beginner, like, what is the easiest way, or what would you suggest to do? Let's say I want to barbecue ribs for the weekend.
For the weekend. Okay, so for ribs, if you don't have a smoker like how I do, what I would do is if you just have a regular propane grill at home, I would turn like the left side or the right side of the grill on. Just adjust the nubs until your grill is at a temperature of 275, 250, 275, that range. And then what you want to do is cook your ribs with indirect heat. So this way it's slowly cooking. And the way you get that tender texture to where it's almost falling off the bone is this indirect heat is slowly going to break down the collagens and fat in the protein of the meat. And that's what's going to give it that texture. But if you grill it over high heat, the high temperature just tightens up the muscles pretty quickly, and you don't really get the same texture. So the idea behind that is that you just set one side on and then let it get to that temperature of 275, and then you're going to lay your ribs on the opposite side where there's no heat underneath. And in terms of seasoning, you only really need use your favorite seasoning, but like what I'm doing with my ribs is I do a typical Khorovats pork seasoning, you know, with the red pepper, black pepper, onions, dry basil, maybe some dry oregano, you know. So you just got to go with what the flavors you know, like what you usually barbecue with. So it just gives it your own flavor. And then I would say 2 hours, 2 to 3 hours, you just let it, don't open the cover of the grill or anything, just let it get some nice color on. And then once it gets the nice color on, you're going to take it off, wrap it in foil, and let it go for another 2 hours so that what happens is now that you've tightened it with foil, the foil prevents it from drying out. So it just continues to cook with its own moisture and juices. And that's what's going to give it that nice, tender texture that you're looking for. It's going to help break it down more. So for a total of 4 to 5 hours, yeah, it's a long process. It takes like a total of 4 to 5 hours if you really want to commit to it.
Will the one propane tank be enough for that or no?
Oh, it should be. I mean, a tank of propane goes a long way, and your grill's not blasted to a high heat. You know, again, you maybe have one side of the grill on set to like a medium low temp setting. And if your temperature, if your thermometer reads 275 as the temperature of the grill, then that's the setting you should stay at. So.
Perfect. That sounds easy enough for, I think, everyone. And, you know, it's and low maintenance. You know, you put it on and then you go do something. I mean, don't forget about it, but then come back.
Yeah.
I wanted also, I mean, I would love to know more recipes, but I also would like you to share with us the backyard parties that you did before the current situation. And then also, right, like you mentioned, you have an upcoming project. Let us know what's going on with that. So if it's somewhere that we can come and support, we'd love to do that.
For sure. So the backyard dinners I would do was, I would call it the Yerotmas Meze and barbecue dinners. So they would gather around our backyard, and the first few courses would be a meze course where I would pretty much try to take the classical like mezes that we have and try to serve it in a more different way. For example, the Vospov Kyufta that we have with the bulgur and the lentils, you know, you form the patties and you just eat it with parsley and onions. But a way I served it was I had a pea puree on top and then a salad of fresh peas and feta cheese and like different herbs, just an example of how like I try to do it a little bit different. And so it would just be a few dishes in the beginning like that, and then the barbecue would be the main course, as any Armenian restaurant does it. The barbecue comes towards the end. So
you basically took the Armenian traditional food or, you know, whichever part ethnic food. But then you put on your own modern twist with all the experiences that you had from, you know, the cooking school and, you know, in France and et cetera. But because it doesn't look like a regular kofta, you know, I've seen some of the pictures of you like layering lavash with something. It looks super like sophisticated and complex and modern, but you are giving the authentic flavors.
Right. And so a point I wanted to make based off that is an argument a lot of people make with me is, what is Armenian food to you? Because a lot of the food we have, we share with other cultures that we were considered neighbors with on the map. And my answer to that is no one, these dishes that we share with, you know, the Lebanese people or Turkish people, Greek people, these recipes were not documented the same way that European countries have documented their recipes since the 1400s. You know, this was more one neighbor learned from another and so on, and it just got passed down from one person to another that way. And if you look at the diversity of what was then known as the Ottoman Empire, of the region that these dishes came out of, it was majority of the people who lived in these lands were obviously Armenians, and then you had the Kurds and then Turkish, Arabs, so on. So no one really knows who invented these dishes, but because, you know, our grandparents have eaten these dishes and cooked these dishes and we've eaten them and we've grown up on them, I consider them to be Armenian in essence, even though Turkey may have claimed some of these dishes, or, you know, Lebanon may have claimed some of them, so on. You know, you get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that is such a good and valid point, because yes, there is always like, it's not Armenian, it's this, it's that. And you are actually like, now, like, yes, it makes sense, because who knows, you know, this thing they made, the countries have been there forever, and who knows who exactly came up with. And yes, whatever we have, we eat at home, we call it Armenian, and then, you know, we make the best out of it and we share it with the world, which is what you are doing. And it's pretty amazing. I can't, once you resume maybe your backyard parties, maybe we can do some sort of a live show where you can actually show what exactly you are doing. And yeah, because I mean, the descriptors and descriptions are great. And while we're talking about it, why don't you mention your Instagram where people can follow you and subscribe and see all the delicious things?
So my Instagram is at Chef Arthur, ARTHUR. And when you go there, you'll see the Instagram pages for my barbecue page and the new falafel pop-up that I'm starting, which will be this Sunday, 4 p.m. at Bar Bandini in Hollywood. You'll find the pages linked in my bio as well. And you'll see pretty much what I'm trying to do with my career on those pages.
Those pages are delicious. You know, I'm just warning whoever is going to go, you're going to spend a lot of time looking through the pictures and salivating. So what is, how did this project of the falafel come up?
So it actually, I've been planning it for a while. It was, it, again, like I mentioned, it was my grandmother's recipe. And so last week when she passed away, it was kind of like a signal to do it in her honor and just move forward with it. So I'm doing this in her honor because she gave me this recipe and I used to serve it at my barbecues, and whoever's tried it has said that it's the best falafel they've ever had. And I'm not even trying to brag. It's just, that's their word. So I feel like it deserves its own, it deserves to be its own star, and it deserves its own respect and not just being something that's a part of the barbecue, you know.
Absolutely. So Sunday, where can we come and taste it?
It's going to be at bar called Bar Bandini. It's in Hollywood.
Uh-huh. Bar Bandini.
Yeah, they have their patio. They have their patio open, and I'll be there from 4 p.m. until I sell out, basically.
Sounds good. All right. Well, whoever is listening, you know, make sure put it on your calendar. Thank you, Arthur. I had so many questions for you. I have written down because food is my passion, and wine and food. You know, my undergrad is in wine. I'm sommelier, winemaker, but food has been a major part of my career too. And that's why I was like, I wrote so many questions, but we just cannot fit it all in this 1 hour. So, like I said, maybe we should do a live together and talk more, or I would love you to come back and maybe we can talk a little bit more about more recipes and then other things.
For sure,
I'm sure there will be a lot of things to talk about. Thank you, Arthur. In Armenian, we say, Asad Statiki Pokindu Savori. She is your guardian angel. We're so grateful that she has taught and inspired you to cook because your food is amazing. Thank you for spending your Friday with us. And until next time.
My pleasure. Thank you.